Understood. Thank you for that. That's a that fills out, and that's a good explanation for the concerns I had. I still think it's possibly a little speculative, but if we went for it last year, I guess we can do it again if we decide so.
In the final category, if I may help out here.
Yes. Yes.
I think that everybody has to understand that the impact, excuse me, of COVID here has been kind of severe in that our community events used to generate a fair amount of income to the station because they were social events. Being that WPFW is also a music radio station, we have...
I'm sorry, a what radio station?
Music radio station.
Music, yes, yes.
I think 35% of our content is music. We have relationships with some of the venues, many of the venues in the immediate area, and when we did community events, we would collaborate with the venues, and the fundraisers would raise funds for the station. But with the advent of the pandemic, many of those venues closed. Some are actually now returning and courting the relationship again, trying to set things up, you know, but it's very dynamic because, of course, we've got Omicron now, and some other variants on the horizon. So it's very dynamic, but it gives us an opportunity to look at what is working. So we've had to work very hard with our programming because our pledge drives are still working, even though we're not doing our community events. So what is working is the programming. I appreciate the emphasis on the premiums, but we've learned also from trafficking, if you will, of the premiums that there is an expense associated with premiums, you know, that reduces the value of them as fundraisers themselves. You know, the shipping, the manpower, the time and expense in dealing with the premiums. So we're putting emphasis more on our programming. But specifically to this major donor, we had specific venues that were actually kind of courting us to say, let's do this event. But then COVID hit and they had to back off, and they're coming back around again. So we do believe we'll get this finally done this year.
Understood. Thank you for that. I will add a comment that I recall that having a live auction was part of the attraction for the donor. He wanted to feel that live support, not just for him, but also build support for the station. And we all know in a live auction, sometimes you get people emoting more and therefore spending more for items. And that increases the overall success of an auction. But on the other hand, and I don't know to what extent this art is local in appreciation, but when you go online with an auction, and I think before you were going to have live and online, but when you go online, of course, you get that, you know, worldwide audience. So that can make up for some of that local live aspect that you miss. It was to be live and online, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Last year, yeah, I appreciate that. And okay, so I want to move on from that, and this is my last question. Maybe some others are thinking of some questions while we're doing this. And it was about your the timing of your fund drives. And this is just a general question. I think that most stations, their October fund drive is the big one, and I guess maybe that's throughout the industry. But I always wonder about the holiday drive and the year-end giving season. And you mentioned that you have a soft drive in December. And I'm just wondering what your considerations have been over the years to not emphasize the December drive more. And I imagine it might be based on your experience. But could you just explain for the benefit of anybody listening and for our edification a little bit about why October is bigger than December, when in some other areas of the economy, December is the big time?
Sure. So for us, when I said soft, and I mean that we pitched for 2 weeks and then we shut up and we just put in, you know, please continue to remember us in year in gifts, but we don't pound people for a third week, and people continue to give. And if you look at us historically, as evidenced by this last year, that 2 weeks of pitching and then, you know, please remember us, you know, in your year in gift, but not hard pitching, the last week of the year, because we do it before, you know, Christmas, has been beneficial to us. You know, we raised $193,000 this year. So that has worked, and it has worked in previous years. And we do get spillover into January for that. So that's really the thought process here. Yes, October is big, and we've done very well in October, but we also have done well in the winter, and the spring drives is well. We're up, looking at the numbers, just raw numbers, not including PPP. You know, we are up nearly $100,000 from fiscal year 20 to fiscal year 2021, and that is almost all from listener support. So the drive times and the way we've done it has been effective.
Understood. Thank you. Does anyone else have any other questions?
Chris Cordy, that's Jack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I just wondered if, given the plethora of questions that have been asked, if Nick would prefer to have the opportunity over the next 2 weeks to go back and adjust any of these things, or whether he's still fairly content with the budget that we have at hand. I'm just interested in knowing his perspective at this juncture. So that's it. Thank you.
Sure, Chris. I appreciate it. I personally, given the track record we've had over the last several years, and our local finance committee tracking to not only to budget but monitoring the expenses and income, I feel very, very confident about this budget. Notwithstanding the comments that have been made, I think have been more detail-oriented about the categories of certain expenses and the category in where they've been broken out versus the actual raw number vis-a-vis, you know, credit card processing fees being in bank fees versus them being in development expense. Under credit card fees, I don't think that those types of details are ones that have me doubt the budget. We are doing very well at monitoring where we are, and both on income and expense basis. We see it as a living document, not something we throw on a shelf, but that we manage to month by month. And so I think that this budget is as good as last year's and as good as the years before. And, you know, I think with some maybe cleanup of some of the smaller items and some categorization, I think this is something that I stand behind, and I'm sure Jerry does as well.
Hey, it's Julie, if I might say something.
Of course, Julie. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to back Nick up on that in the sense that, you know, we talked about, you know, revising the chart of accounts. And then I think also, you know, Kim and Anita are right. Changing the chart of accounts doesn't fix everything. It's the training that goes along with that will help. But, you know, I think across part of the reason why we had that discussion was because I think we all recognized that across the units, there were some differences in how we were approaching similar kinds of expenses and revenue categories, and that for the good of the foundation, we would do better to have more consistent accounting. And so while I really do appreciate all of the questions that, you know, and things that people have raised, I wonder if the time to think about revising the WPFW budget isn't after we, you know, kind of have this better budget template that, you know, instead of having, you know, Nick and the finance committee for PFW do more work, only to have to do more work again, you know, what if we just kind of postpone that till then? I kind of also think that, you know, there are some things that, you know, like I completely agree on the pension line part, right? But it's also, I think what's more important is getting the accounting right. And, you know, aspirationally, we'll get our budgets, like the FY23 budgets ought to be all pretty spiffy looking and follow a similar format and whatnot. But, you know, let's not let perfection be the enemy of the good here. Let's celebrate the fact that, you know, WPFW, I'm not asking people to vote on it tonight, but let's celebrate the fact that WPFW got its budget done on time and, you know, except for some questions that it's raised for other people because WPFW maybe is a little bit different than some of the other stations. We don't really rely on premiums like others do. You know, I don't think it makes sense for us to, you know, bump up our premium line, you know, just because that's what other stations do, if that makes any sense. So that's just some general reactions to kind of some of the things that people have said. But I think, you know, Nick's right.
I'm going to jump on the stack here real quick. If you're done, Julie, are you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. I thought that was a finishing pause. And I want to say that I realize, and you pointed it out, Julie, I appreciate that, that my question was really, would you guys like to go back and do some more work? And that's not likely to get a response of yes, but I do recall in the past that we have passed some budgets, which I'm not against, by the way, doing tonight. We've passed some budgets provisionally, passing them on to the PNB with the proviso that some item or other might be corrected by the time it got to the PNB and then was voted on there. And I'm thinking in particular about the pension plan entry. Maybe we could pass the budget, but... And, you know, Kim may have another suggestion for some other correction, but could we possibly get a clarification on that and have it as a contingency, you know, pass the budget with that as a contingency? And that's the question. That's a general question to the committee.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Just wanted to point out that we are now 6 minutes over time on this item.
Yeah, my stopwatch stopped working during the middle of this. So would anyone like to extend? I'm going to ask if, even though we are over time, could we possibly get an extension? Would somebody like to extend a few minutes so we can deal with this?
This is Lyndon. I'll move to extend 5 minutes over the six we've already burned.
Thank you, Lyndon. Is there any objection to six more minutes? I'm turning on my stopwatch again to see if that's going to work this time. Well, it's going. Hearing no objection, we'll go another 6 minutes. And again, I'm going to reiterate my question. Is there any thought that maybe we could get some adjustments? I'd like to see an adjustment on that pension, not necessarily an adjustment, just a clarification of whether that's correct or whether that needs to be changed.
This is Lyndon. Like,
go ahead, Lyndon.
I thought that there's a pension line and then a 403B line. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So all that has to do is just add the 403B up into the pension, and that's done. But I would.
I think it gets eliminated. One is just no longer.
Well, okay. What
I think that's what he meant. You merge it, yeah.
Or eliminate, yeah. I don't know what the facts on the ground are, but that ought to be simple one way or the other. But I kind of would like to see those bank charges, interest charges, broken out a little better. That's just my view. Thank you.
I'm doing that right now on a spreadsheet, so I'll have that information for them at least for the prior year.
Which is that, Julie, that you're doing, Julia?
The bank charges.
Ah,
I've already run the transactions for last year, and I'm sitting here sorting through it.
Good.
Kind of seeing what's going on with that. And may I just ask one question?
Yes, of course.
I agree with some of this is sort of just what line is it on. I did want to mention one thing is, you know, even looking at the office supplies, for example, you know, there's a great deal of expenses in there that are associated with posting jobs from the beginning of the year. And so you can imagine that that's $300 and $500 clips, that they don't really have a good account for something like that to go in. So it goes in office supplies. I'm not sure that anybody has that really a good account for something like that. My other last comment is just making sure that Nick and Jerry are truly comfortable that the development expenses really are that much lower this year versus last year. I did the math. I can't remember if it was like 70,000 less or 60,000 less than last year, because that is such a big change. I know what you're saying. I completely understand what you're saying about premiums, because I do see those bills come through, and there really aren't that many that are coming through the past several months. But that is a big drop from last year. So just making sure they're confident that those a lot of those expenses that were in last year's were really invoices from 2 years ago.
So is that a question for Nick, or is that a question for Nick or Jerry?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that they feel good about that, knowing that that is such a large drop.
I would like to, before I answer to that,
that was something we didn't talk about today.
Okay, I would have to confer with Nick and Annette, and actually Mo also, make sure that is the case, to look at that drop, because there were a lot of what I'll call accounts payable that I personally had to make sure that paid from the distant past that might have been wrapped into development costs in prior budgets. Does that make any sense?
I would concur with that, Jerry, that we did have some catch up bills in 2021, and that we would just have to research. So I agree with Jerry that we should just go back and look at that and see what got categorized as premiums in actual in 2020.
Mm-hmm. I think Julia has something for you on that. Go ahead, Julia.
I was just going to say, Jerry, I can send you and Annette, Nick, if you wanted to. It's an easy-to-read transaction listing that's by account and vendor. Okay. So we can at least, some of it's easier to identify just off of what the vendor is, so we could say, oh, yeah, that doesn't belong there. But I'll send you that. If not tonight, then I'll send it tomorrow.
Okay, please.
So I'm going to suggest again, and I just want to, again, I'm asking for a sense of the committee or anybody who wants to voice an opinion, could it be that we pass this budget tonight with the proviso that these matters be clarified, I guess, as we did in the past, to the satisfaction of the CFO, and then once that's attested to before the PMB, then the PMB could go ahead and pass it with our blessing.
So moved, Steph.
Okay, now that's getting serious. Now we have a motion.
I have a question.
We have a motion.
Well,
I don't have any wording of it.
There's a motion on the floor. Beth made a motion. So, Kim, if you could just hold your question until we
end
for discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Beth, do you want to I guess we would have to continue the conversation to make sure that, you know, we have a list of agreed upon items for clarification. So perhaps we might have to vote on, I don't know if we want to vote on each one, but come to some consensus of which ones we're talking about.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
My intention was to approve the idea. And to reiterate what I think it was Julie said recently, that we shouldn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and that that we need to keep the process moving. And given that we have had precedent of using this process of provisional approval in the past, I think this looks to me like an ideal moment to employ that again. So,
well, I see that we've now, I'm sorry, continue. We've run out of time, but go ahead and finish your thought.
To wrap up, I would leave it up to anyone with those specific concerns to articulate them, enumerate them for this motion. Thank you.
Okay. So there, our poll is looking for language for this motion. And did you get any from Beth's comments, our poll, or do we need to give you some more
really,
language?
It would be good if somebody could say exactly what words they want to be. The NFC recommends to the PNB what?
Correct.
Exactly.
What James said.
That doesn't work. The NFC recommends to the PNB to accept the budget, approve the budget of the fiscal year 22 budget for WPFW, pending the satisfaction of the CFO, the ICFO, that the following items have been clarified, and then list the items. And the one that I was interested in clarifying was the 403B and the pension. And then somebody else had mentioned the drop in the development costs.
Yes. And,
and then there was another one about the bank charges.
Correct.
And Kim, you had quite a list. Is there any other one from your list that stands out to you?
No, I think those are covered, except for pushing this speculative major donor way to the end of the year. I mean, I'm uncomfortable with it, flat out. I don't want to nix it, but I'm not comfortable with it. But it definitely should be at the end of the year, because it didn't happen December, it ain't going to happen January. So my question is, though, does that mean it comes back to us for another look, or not?
In the past, we relied on Anita, at that time the ICFO, to verify to us that the questions were clarified to her satisfaction. And
Chair,
I assume that she could do that in consultation with the people who had the concerns.
Or I could make the changes and send it back to the committee, whichever the preference is.
I think we're trying to avoid coming back to the committee, you know, at another meeting and having to do this again, although I guess it would be pretty quick. Do you anticipate that? Just one second, Beth. I wouldn't anticipate that it would take a long time to figure this out, would it?
No, sir.
I didn't think so.
Looking at the bank charges, so.
She's doing it right now as we speak. Yeah.
Yeah. If you give us a day or so at most, I mean by the end of the week.
Well, we're going to have another meeting next week, so. Shall we just say by next week, and then the committee can review it?
I would prefer that, Jim.
I mean, hear you.
That's our job, you know, is to see them before just approving them. So, yeah, I'd like to. I mean, it should go really quickly, but.
It should.
Okay. I heard Beth with another. Was that you asking for the stack, Beth?
That's okay. We're past that point now. Thanks.
Okay. Is there anybody else who wants to opine on this?
Chris, for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
It sounds like we don't even need a motion at this juncture. We just need to send this back through NEDA and revisit it next week.
That sounds like one idea. So is that a motion? But we don't need a motion. All right.
We don't need a motion for that.
Well, we do have a motion on the floor.
Right. Okay.
So
with no wording yet. So I'm suggesting that maybe we should nix the motion. That's what I'm driving at there. Thanks.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I
heard somebody saying
that.
That's our Paul.
Yeah, our Paul. I agree
Got
with
it.
What Chris said. Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
Beth,
me too.
Since the motion doesn't have wording yet, would you be willing to withdraw it?
I'm saying I'm just looking for a way forward. I'm not attached to the motion. If there's a way forward, I just don't want us to get stuck here. So if there's a way forward, then I'm content.
Well, it sounds to me like a way forward that seems to be gaining at least consensus among those who are speaking, that we send it back and, you know, deal with it again briefly next week and, you know, get a quick understanding of whether or not these things have been resolved to the satisfaction of the ICFO and to the people who raised these questions, and then we can submit it. So, apparently our Paul's opinion was we don't need a motion for that. Can we just do that with the consensus of the committee? Our Paul?
Yeah, it sounds like everybody, you know, ask if anybody's violently opposed to it. That's all.
I think I'll just ask if there's any objection. So hearing none, we'll go ahead and do that. And I hope I'm not hearing Nick or Jerry say anything about that. Jerry, you wouldn't need to come back for that. I'm hoping that that would be just a perfunctory thing and that you can pretty much consider your budget understood and approved of at this point.
Okay, thank you, but I will be available nonetheless.
That's appreciated. Nick, did you have any final comment?
Nope. Just thank everyone for their input and thanks for leading the meeting.
James, okay. Okay. Well, thank you both. And Nick, as a member of the committee, I hope you'll be staying with us. And Jerry, you can go home now if you want.
Okay.
Thank you for being with us.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay.
Okay.
Back to the agenda. We're rapidly coming up on our time certain. We have report from the ICFO. I think we wanted to do this in tandem with Anita and Julia.
And for the interest of time, this is Anita. I'll start.
Thank you.
One of the items that I had on my list to talk about briefly was the audit. We have exchanged email with George or Jorge. I believe we are waiting for the PBC list. I'm not quite sure. Well, I will say this. I don't feel that we are ready to share the top balance, but I will talk with George and Julia and Tamara tomorrow about that so I can report next week. We're working on budgets for 2022. We should be able to have one for the national office also available. And also wanted to just comment on central services. You all remember that we talked a good bit that prior year about the central services and the calculation. Probably need to go ahead and visit one more time before those numbers go into the budget for the national office. That's all I had, unless it's anyway any questions for me. And Julia, if you had anything to comment on also.
James, I don't know. Did you want me to address the documents that I sent out today, or is that under a different section?
Sure. No, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Yeah, and I really don't think there's a lot of time to be spent on that. I did, as we discussed at the last meeting, there were some corrections that needed to be made to the November financials. What I sent out today was the same document, but the formulas that particularly impacted KPFA's spreadsheet were corrected. And I've added notes on the summary tab. If you look at that, you will see the items that we that were brought up related to, I think it was KPFT and WBAI. I've noted what those corrections are. And while some of those have been entered, we just were not in a position to reissue the financial statement. So you will see that on the December financials. You'll see those corrections actually hit. But I made those notes. The net impact on the bottom line for year to date is zero for those corrections. So that was another reason that I felt like we'll just wait until we issue the December statement so you can see that those corrections have been made there. I also
and some of that goes back to October, right? Some of those corrections, October and November.
One was August and September. So,
got it.
I've made the ones for this fiscal year, but the August, September, I wanted to go back in and look at some things. But no, they'll hit the December statement. But I did want it on the record so that people could know that. That's why I put it, the more specific notes on the summary statement that's on that first tab.
Yes.
So that you could have it recorded that specifically what we addressed. The second document was the summary of the aged payables, I think, through about January 4th, and I did add some notes to that. One thing that we struggle with, struggle is probably not the right word, but it's just, we have to maintain a separate spreadsheet for some of the items that would not hit the payables listing, and I put those at the bottom. Those specifically or for the national office, they're related to loan payments, things of that nature. But that just gives you a feel for where we are with payables that need to be processed. WBAI is the only one that had, from what I could tell, some corrections that he needs to make on his report. We actually have to run his age payables out of his QuickBooks account since they process things. But again, there are notes there. If anybody has any questions, you're welcome to reach out and let me know.
Are there any questions? I have a question myself, which I will ask unless I hear from someone else. Go ahead, Kim.
Can I send them out to my local finance committee? Hello?
The financial statement or the which one?
The P&L.
Payables.
The corrected P&Ls, the November
financials.
Yeah, the financials.
Corrected P&Ls, because we waited from last meeting. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And Julia, I wanted to ask a question about the central services. We and the national office budget, we understood last year that we should have done that first, and yet we had interminable conversations about it and never really came to anything until pretty late in the season. And the ideal thing would have been to do it first this time around, but it's, with so many stations not paying central services and money kind of falling from the sky for PPP and sale of buildings and, now we have an EIDL loan. The national office has been basically going along without regular income, and it's getting all this extraordinary income. So it's difficult to figure out what central services should be and how to budget for the national office. So is it critical for us to do that first, or can we go ahead and do what we did before, which was kind of upside down?
I'm going to let Anita speak to that purely because she's been involved in that longer. And, I mean, obviously we know it's an issue. I just don't know your willingness. I mean, I think it's definitely going to hold up approving things if we don't go forward. So, Anita, I'll defer to your thoughts.
I mean, as I might have mentioned earlier, I'm more than happy to put together a narrative and a spreadsheet, if you will, of what it should be that we can, for the committee, so we can discuss it at the next meeting. I personally feel that we need to, this committee needs to take a position on it and decide which way. I'd be happy to help implement that by talking to the stations, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we can do to expedite it, be happy to do that.
Okay, well, why don't I put it on the agenda for the next meeting, and we can take advantage of your offer to do that.
This is Kim.
Chris to the staff.
I heard Kim first. Go ahead, Kim.
No, that's okay. I'll let Chris go. He's
Thank
more
you, Chris.
In the weeds on this than I am.
Okay.
Chris?
Historically, I mean, we've gone around and around the mulberry bush on the central services formula, which I think is kind of the essential element in this discussion. And it looks to me that 15% of revenues, that was the number that was used 5 years ago when the central services formula was first created. And I think it still works. But what that does is that it not only covers the expenses at the national office, but it allows for exigent circumstances. If something comes up and a station has a crisis of some sort or another, like a fiscal emergency, it leaves enough reserves in the national office that the national office can step forward and accommodate those needs. And I think that's an important feature of the national office. But, this is like a philosophical discussion about what the national office should do, which I actually think we should have at some point here. But just as a ballpark figure, it would be nice to know, like just the Roman vote, yes or no, from the national office, if they believe that 15% of revenues would actually cover their expenses. I think the answer that they'll come back with is yes, but I don't expect them to answer that question right now. If they could review that over the course of the week and come back with an answer to that question, that'll at least give us a place to start. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
And by they, you mean Julia and Anita?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Netta, or whoever is up front for that organization. Thank you.
Correct, thank you. Kim, you were on the stack, but I did.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I'll agree with Chris. I'll defer to Chris on this. I just want to say I do think it's important to have that conversation up front, because I when we're looking at the budgets for all these units, I mean, if there's any, I'd like that number to be somewhat more firm as to what it is, you know, while we're approving these budgets.
Understood. Anyone else? Okay. So I will put that on the agenda for next week. And Anita, if you could work on that, that would be very appreciated.
Thank you. I will do so.
Okay. I see we're almost exactly at time, but we didn't get to the discussion on number 9 of the standard transaction limits. I don't know if we should ask for. Okay, thank you, Chris. Is there any discussion or objection?
What's
this?
We're moving to extend for 5 minutes to discuss number 9 on the agenda. Just to continue with the agenda, I should say. Is there any objection? Hearing none. We'll go ahead for five more minutes. Beth, it's your turn. You have the floor. Beth?
Sorry, I was muted. I was.
No worry. Go ahead.
Yes, so I'm bringing forth a motion to establish standard Pacifica managerial transaction limits. This is standard practice as the best management practice in every other nonprofit I've ever worked with. $5,000 seems to be the standard amount. This is intended to remedy that omission. So I'll go ahead and read it first, and then we can discuss it. I realize I drafted this as if it were a motion from the PNB, so I'll insert a brief phrase to qualify it as a motion from the NFC. The NFC recommends that the PNB authorize the executive director, general managers, Pacifica unit managers, and other senior managers to approve on their own authority all reasonable and necessary standard transactions within policy and budgetary guidelines in amounts up to and including $5,000 per annum, including all contractual obligations and routine payments previously approved. Any and all proposed new transactions in excess of $5,000 per annum shall require PNB approval in advance. All proposals shall be submitted and considered for approval at any PNB meeting. In case of emergency, the most senior acting Pacifica manager may obtain the necessary approval with signatures of the current acting Pacifica CFO and any two of the current seated elected PNB officers. This policy of January, whatever it turns out to be, 2022, supersedes any and all previous pertinent Pacifica policies.
Do you want to motivate that, Beth?
Sure. As I stated, it's every other board I've worked with, this was standard practice, the standard best management practice. It helps the board execute its legal obligation of oversight. It helps management and the board harmonize better, get into sync with each other better, because it's necessary for us to be working together in order to authorize to these standard payments. I think it would help heal what I've experienced as kind of a standing breach between management and board within the organization. I guess at a certain level, it just seems to me like the obvious thing to do, the necessary thing to do. It's not clear to me why there wasn't such a limit when I got here. So if there are questions now or discussion, I'd be prepared
to the stack.
Or Paul for that.
And then I'm going to put myself on the stack as well. Go ahead, Kim.
I'll let our Paul talk first.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So, two things. One, most senior acting Pacifica manager is, it's kind of ambiguous. Does that just mean the executive director or interim executive director?
If I may respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's intended to cover all possible contingencies in the case of a serious emergency in which we may not know now who that senior acting Pacifica manager may be if the ED is not available
for whatever reason. We ought to have, organizationally, we ought to have a standing emergency response plans that would stipulate a chain of command. And I'll be working on that, too, under wearing a different hat. But once we have that, then that would make clear how we would determine who that person was. But this is, again, in the case of a severe emergency, in which case
right, so,
we may not know until then who's available.
Right, so I don't know. This being Pacifica, I don't know. It sounds like it could set up more than one set of people to say, I'm in charge here, you know, doing the Alexander Haig thing. Any two currently elected PNB officers, that could also do the same thing. I don't know. So I'm a little not too thrilled with that. Also, at some point, we need to fill in the blank, but I guess the PNB can fill in the blank of January, whatever.
Right.
Or maybe they'll have to change it to February, whatever, but that'll be up to them. Okay. All right. Thank you.
May I respond to that briefly?
Yeah, briefly. We're going to need time. We're going to need another extension of time. We're going
to
continue.
To extend 10 minutes.
Is there any objection to 10 more minutes? Hearing none. Well, all right. I think I may have heard one. Was somebody objecting there? Okay, hearing none. We'll go for 10 more. Thank you, everyone. Go ahead, Beth. Go ahead and respond.
Thank you. Yes. Just to clarify, and for the record, both California state and federal law require us to have a written, updated, current emergency response plan that has this kind of a chain of command, a chain of succession in place and stipulated ahead of time. And granted, I couldn't point to that right now, but that just begs the question. We need that in place. This can help motivate us to get that in place. And it's these kinds of clauses are drafted to be deliberately ambiguous so that in case of a serious emergency, think of 9/11 when, like, no one was flying, and think of the kinds of attacks going on infrastructure now. If the internet's down and we need to proceed, then the CFO and any two, the first two current seated elected PNB officers could authorize necessary transactions. Okay.
Kim?
Well, first of all, you know, this came right before the meeting, like 2 minutes before the meeting. So I object on those grounds. So I haven't really had a chance to thoroughly look at it because it is ambiguous and it is sort of, I don't really understand it. And I also agree with our Paul that it's not real clear. I'm also uncomfortable with PNB directors signing off on this kind of stuff. And there is at least one, possibly two previous $5,000 limit motions that have gone through the NFC. And the problem is not making motions. The problem is oversight and making sure this happens. I mean,
implementation.
And I have seen many more off-budget expenses than I care to remember that just la-di-da their way through you know, their way to deficits at the end of the year. So it definitely is implementation. It definitely is oversight. And I would like to move that we postpone a decision until the next meeting so we can look at this more carefully.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor. Any well, postpone, there's no discussion, right, Art Paul?
Oh, God, let me look. I'm not doing well right now.
Sorry about that.
This is Beth. Well, I don't have any objection to postponing. I would like to respond to a couple of Kim's comments, if I may.
Well, I think we need a rule. We need some information on whether or not this takes discussion, and then we'll have your response under,
I can be nice and, you know, we can put this aside and let Beth respond. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right, Paul, if you can hear me when you
debatable,
an answer, just chime in.
It is debatable.
Okay. Well, while you were looking for that, Kim offered to put it aside while Beth responded. Is that acceptable?
Yes. Why with me?
I'm actually asking Art Paul. But
what does that even
he's
mean?
Not doing so well.
It's debatable, so people can debate it. She doesn't have to put it aside or anything while people debate it.
Okay, so why don't we let Beth respond. I would like to put myself on the stack to ask a question of Julia or Anita, and then we'll see if anybody else has anything else to say. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Well, again, I don't mind if people would like to postpone till I'd rather not wait past next meeting. But it deserves serious consideration, and if people would like to wait until then, that's fine. I wanted to address the $5,000, the fact that there have been limits in the past. I have looked for a limit like this since I first got to the board, to the local LSB 2 years ago, and have been unable to find. Everybody tells me there is something like that, we don't need that, but no one can point me to it. No one has been able to provide the verbatim. A couple different people have brought past things that had a sunset clause written into them that has since expired, but I have not been able to find, despite numerous efforts, I've not been able to find anything that is standing now and that's intended to be ongoing and become standard practice. And then once we adopt this, it's up to us to see to it that it's implemented. And just because it hasn't been in the past, I don't think of that as reason enough to just throw up our hands and give up on the effort. This is necessary and standard practice, and if we do postpone a decision until next meeting, the committee certainly all have my email address and know where to reach me, and if you have specific concerns, let me know, and if we need to work on the wording, I'd be happy to do that. In fact, this already incorporates feedback from several people I ran it past. That's enough.
Okay.
Thanks.
I would just like to quickly ask Julia, based on our conversation earlier today, if this is a standard thing that foundations and nonprofits and other organizations have.
In my experience, yes. I do think that maybe we could make some changes to how it's written to make it more clear.
Perhaps even reach out and look at some of the other wheels that other people have invented before we tried?
I mean, it's essentially part of a purchasing policy. So
it has to do with also requiring multiple estimates for purchases and things of that sort.
Well, that
service contracts.
One thing that I had mentioned, that most places have thresholds for where they ask that, you know, there be quotes provided that it shows that there was some shopping for the best price, but not limiting to the person to always go with the cheapest, because that's not always the best idea either.
Right.
Yeah, those are that and caps as to what someone can spend without some type of authorization is standard from my experience. I'm sure Anita would agree with that.
So it sounds like this is a real thing that's out there that might be advisable. Sounds like we need to explore the language, maybe tighten up, look at some other examples of things that others have adopted, and perhaps Beth can work on that and bring it back to our next meeting. And Anita, Julia kind of asked you a question there. I don't know if you want to respond.
I mean, I'm well aware, and I agree with Julia, it is almost like a PO approval, if you will. My initial concern when I thought about it or heard about it, quite frankly, was on the execution of it. But
yeah.
That was mine as well, that I mentioned to James today.
I hear our Paul chiming in there as well.
Or Kim.
No, you didn't.
Or Kim, okay. All right. Apologies for mistaking voices. That happens. Go ahead, Kim.
Arpal, you keep track of these things, I guess, necessarily. You don't necessarily remember them because I know there have been other things passed in the past, but you don't recall any?
Oh, yes, we've done stuff like this in the past. A complicating factor is it isn't 5,000 across the board. Different places have other limits. Not everybody has the same limit.
Hmm.
But, you know, so there's that.
Yeah, and same with Anita. The hard part is implementation, and
yeah.
I want to study it more and think about it. So,
okay. So I'm going to ask if no one has any more comments. Is there any objection to postponing this until our next meeting?
Chris to the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
I know that we're basically out of time. It'll only take me 15 seconds. I just wanted to comment that I do believe that there is actually a limit out there, and I'll research that. I'll take some time to research that aspect of the puzzle.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
So I'm not hearing any objection to postponing, so why don't we consider that done? And with that, I believe we're out of time, and we should go ahead and adjourn. And I want to thank Fred for streaming for us. I want to thank Anita and Julia for being here, and also Nick for his work on the budget for the WPFW Fiscal 22, and to Jerry Paris for coming and presenting to us. On that note, we're adjourned.
God love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.